Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. Every Wednesday, Mark, along with his special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark is a tested, certified, and professional spiritual medium, metaphysical teacher, healer, and spiritual advisor with a spiritual practice based in Seattle, Washington. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful, amazing planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio. I am your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, the Emerald City of Seattle, Washington. Thank you so much for tuning into today's live show. I promise you it's going to be a very inspiring, educational documentary / ghost stories. We're going to be talking about seance with my special guest, Shannon Tager, who is returning to Inspired Living Radio for her second show and talking about her new book that it was just listed as Time's Best Photo Books of 2019. We'll be talking about that. But welcome to Inspired Living Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love our inspired listeners all around the globe. I know some of you are tuning in from Canada, from England, here in the United States. Thank you so much. Grab a cup of tea, grab a cup of coffee, sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 60 minutes as we go on an exploration of seance, spiritualism, photography, and all about the paranormal. If you want to work with me, you can find me at marklanehart.com. You can internet search the Intuitive Prospector. I'd be happy to do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual transformations, spiritual healing, and most importantly, your own spiritual gold. You can find me here every first and third Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, here on the Om Times Radio Network for episodes of Inspired Living Radio as we move into our fifth season. It's hard to believe I've been doing this for 5 years. And you can always catch any of our podcasts after the live stream here. We go to a podcast format. You can always go over to Om Times Radio Archives, which has all 5 seasons now of Inspired Living Radio. You can go to iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, Podbean. I have a link also at marklanehart.com. If you want to go back and check out this podcast, or if you want to go back and check out some of the amazing shows that we've done with just amazing, inspiring people like Shannon Tager. So if you want to also follow me over on YouTube, you can follow me at Mark Lanehart and get on my YouTube channel where you can catch my Metaphysical Mocha Mondays live show through Facebook Live and YouTube. That's every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, followed by the Healing Cafe where I do live readings, spiritual chats. Pop in and say hi, get a reading, get a healing. That's all done through Metaphysical Mocha Mondays on Facebook Live on the Intuitive Prospector page. If you want to connect with the show live right now, there's a couple ways to do that, guys. You can call into the live broadcast at 202-570-7057. We will open the phone lines in the second half of the show. We're going to just be taking questions related to today's topic, which is all about seance and in Shannon's book. But you can call in. You can also post a question on our closed page, which is called Inspired Living Radio on Facebook. Just ask to join the 1,500 global listeners around the planet, and you can post a question there. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram under the handle Inspired For Us. That is the number for Inspired For Us. And with that, let's get into talking about this beautiful book. I was talking with Shannon right before we came live on the air, and I told her it's now a coffee table book because it's so well done. It's beautiful. It's got amazing photographs in it, and so I have it on my coffee table here because it just reminds me of, you know, a coffee table book. But I want to give a little background about who Shannon is and how I met Shannon and how we came to have her on the show a couple years ago of Inspired Living Radio talking about seance. So Shannon Tager is a photographer. She's based in Brooklyn, who explores the intersection between art, anthropology, and the immaterial. Shannon's photographs have been exhibited and featured internationally, including within the publications of Time, New York Times Magazine, Discover, and Newsweek. Her work has also been recognized by Nikon, Magnum Photos, and the Inge Morath Foundation, American Photography, and the Alexa Foundation for World Peace. Her first monograph, Seance, was listed as one of Time's best photo books of 2019. And I have to tell you, I totally endorse it. One, because it's a beautiful book, and two, I'm actually in it, which is kind of cool. I was just telling Shannon, I've been published twice in 2019, and I haven't even written a book yet. I'm working on my first book, and here I am appearing in two other books, so it's kind of cool to have your name kind of live in history, I guess, on a bookshelf somewhere. So, Shannon, welcome to Inspired Living Radio. Thank you so much for coming back for a second show. Let's talk about this amazing book that is featured in Time's best photo book of 2019.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be back. And I can't wait for your book, Mark, because your personal story is one of my favorites that I got to include within the book. But yeah, this book has been a labor of love for 18 years, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. And there's spiritualism and mediumship is a difficult topic to cover. And I was building off of a lot of aspects of spiritualist history that a lot of people were unaware of. So it took me a long time to figure out how to compile all of that in a book that made sense for people who are starting from zero. I actually wanted to make a book that was interesting to people who were well-versed in spiritualism and also people who knew nothing about it at all. So that was the challenge, but I worked really hard to do it, and I think I'm very happy with the way that it came out.
Yes, it's a very nice book, and Rebet in 2016, so I guess it's been 4 years ago that you and I on this journey of spiritualism, and I'm going to give a little bit of a background about this book for our inspired listeners out there, because some folks may be new to spiritualism, some folks may be new to mediumship or what seance is. And Shannon and I were at the Arthur Findlay College in England, and it's a place I've been studying for over a decade when my own journey from the military to meditation to mediumship kind of unfolded. And Shannon was writing a book, and we did a fun course at the Arthur Findlay College, which I love and highly recommend. And Shannon was telling me about her book, and I just kind of shared my own personal story, not knowing 4 years later that would actually be in a book. But you took an amazing photograph, and I want to talk about that photograph. I've already gotten some comments on the photograph of us standing out in front of Arthur Findlay's tree in the yard of Arthur Findlay estate, and it was done at night, and it's an amazing picture. If you want to see that picture, you can go over to our Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio, and ask to join if you're not a member already, and you can actually see the picture I'm talking about. It's a fantastic picture. It's very interesting, I would say, just almost like that connection to something bigger than ourselves, the divine, if you will. But the book itself, for those that are listening, yeah, Seance is part documentary, but it's also part ghost story. Shannon offers a haunting images of exploring spiritual practices in the U.S., England, and Europe, 150 of her original photographs, many of which have never been published, as well as rare historical photographs, supported with a commentary on her experience and a foreword by yours truly, Dan Aykroyd, yes, the creator of Ghostbusters in 1984. If you ever saw Ghostbusters or you know who Dan Aykroyd is, he's actually a fourth-generation spiritualist, and illustrated essays from the curator of Andres Fisher and artist Tony Osler. Am I saying that last name right? Tony Osler?
Osler.
Osler. Yeah. Osler. Okay, thank you for that. And Seance, the book itself, examines spiritualism's relationship with human celebrity, its connections to art, science, technologies, and its intrinsic bond with the medium of photography. The book also then concludes with debate over ectoplasm, which we're going to talk about, and how spiritualism can move forward into the 21st century. So would you like to add to that, that background? Did I cover everything okay there?
No, that's good. Yeah, I tried to cover a broad area of topics, so mm-hmm. that's why the book is so dense. But I felt it was all necessary to understand how interesting and historically important spiritualism is, and also that I realized spiritualism had this important moment in photographic history, and there mm-hmm. were a lot of photographs taken during early spiritualism that were kind of left out of the historical records. And mm-hmm. so I tried to address that as well with the book.
And what I liked about your approach when I first met you, because you weren't there for mediumship, you were there to capture how mediums work, including some of the tutors who went into trance. I know both of you and I sat in a red light room. I think it was with Helen DeVita, if I can remember correctly, mm-hmm. Capturing some of the essence of those photographs and how your approach to taking these photographs were very scientific. You know, having the right environment, the right lighting. So how do you approach photographing, taking photographs of paranormal, what is unseen, if you will?
Well, I started out working very straightforwardly. I was a photojournalist at the time when I began my project in 2001. And I realized that that wasn't really going to work for this project, because how do you photograph invisible things? How do you make pictures that speak about experiences that people are happening with, you know, spirits who you cannot see or who are not there? And I started to have a few accidental things happen with my camera. Like, I was in the Lilydale Museum and I got this strange orb over a woman. And one time I was in a seance and I made an accidental exposure that it was a long exposure, so there was motion in it. And it looked as if the face that appeared looked exactly like the face everybody was clairvoyantly describing, but none of us could see. So I became really interested in playing with the photographic process in order to make pictures that spoke about what the experience was like. So I was willing to experiment a lot. And what I found is, even though I was doing long exposures, a lot of times I had strange synchronicities happen. And I became very interested in that aspect. So the pictures in the book span the gamut from straightforward documents to experimental images to me trying to do instrumental transcommunication, which would be mediumship using technology. There's a lot of different types of photographs within the book.
Yeah, there really are. I have had the book for a few days now, and I'm still not through all of the different stories and the background and the history, and just kind of looking at, you know, some of how, like on page 95, how you have a picture of the halo of the eye and really focusing in on how the rim of the eye and the pupil, you know, the science part of it is just, you know, it's very fascinating. Some great pictures of Arthur Findlay College. So I'll be looking at, like I said, this is going to be on my coffee table for me to continue to look at. I highly recommend it. If you want to go out and get the book, where would be the best place for people to locate this book and purchase it, Shannon?
So there are copies available on Amazon.com. It's actually, it's close to, the first edition is close to being sold out, which is exciting. Woo-hoo! But it's still available on Amazon.com. And at artbook.com, and if you are in the UK or Europe, it's available at fulgur.co.uk. That is my publisher, F-U-L-G-U-R, fulgur.co.uk. So there are some copies available still.
And for our inspired listeners out there, you can also go to our Facebook page or Ohm Times Radio, where the show is broadcasting live right now. There's a link for Shannon's website. There's also a link on the Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio, that'll get you to that site that Shannon was just describing with her publisher. So we're going to be coming up on our very first break. I want to get to more questions because this hour can go by so quick, especially when it comes to talking about the paranormal and ghost stories and the unseen world, if you will. But I want to talk about just some of the strange experiences that you talked about, how sometimes your camera would act up or your camera would stop working. I have, you know, working with a lot of people and doing hundreds and hundreds of readings over the years, people always talk about how they have strange occurrences with their photography or technology or their smartphone. So if the break comes up, we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. But what are some of your strangest experiences that you've had while doing photography with the paranormal or the unseen world?
Well, one of the strangest synchronicities I've had is actually the last spread in the book, where I was photographing a medium named Gordon Garforth. And he told me, well, when I go into trance, my face changes, and I transfigure, which is a spiritualist term for when the spirits come and change, actually go over your face and change the way the face looks. And this is usually done in dim light. So we were sitting in extremely dim light, and I made some long exposures of Gordon in a trance. And on all the pictures, he looked a little bit different, but I mean, from each picture looked different and definitely didn't look like he looked, you know, regularly if I had done a portrait. But there was one picture in particular where he actually looked like he had a tiny little mustache and glasses. And the mustache threw me off because I thought, oh, that's a spooky mustache. It's a little too Hitler-esque. I don't want to show him this image. And and so, but when he saw the image on my computer, he said, that is the picture. And I couldn't understand why. And then he took me to his home and showed me a carte de visite of his great grandfather. And it looked exactly like the picture I had taken. And he is certain that that was him appearing over his face in the photo. And so I leave it the book with a question for the viewer. What happened here? It's definitely one of the most striking synchronicities I've ever had photographically.
Interesting. Yeah, I've seen it with my own eyes. I know Tony Stockwell comes to my mind as somebody that's really good at doing this overshadowing or transfiguration as us mediums that do this work. I've even done it in my own spiritual development group, and I have to warn them at the beginning, like, okay, I'm not being possessed. They're not possessing my body. They're just showing us who they can with the fluids in our face, not what you see in the Hollywood movies. And I just want to put that out mm-hmm. for our inspired listeners that they're not possessing us. They're not taking our bodies over. It's none of that. So we're going to come to our first break. We'll be back here in 2 minutes with our very special guest returning for her second episode, Shannon Taggart. This is Inspired Living. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community. One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Did you know that you have the power to change anything in your life? Did you know you can do so even with the things that you've already decided are impossible to change? Come join me, Venus Castleberg, on Outside the Impossible as I interview people from around the globe that have literally changed the things they thought were impossible to change just by using the amazing tools of Access Consciousness. Now airing Wednesdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Do you dare to believe that anything really is possible?
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Thank you. And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. I'm your host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector. Our special guest today coming in, I take it you're in Brooklyn today, or are you somewhere else in the world, is Shannon Taggart, photographer. We're talking about her beautiful new book, Seance, one of Time's best photo books of 2019. Are you in Brooklyn or are you somewhere else, Shannon?
Yeah, no, I'm in Brooklyn.
You're in Brooklyn, okay. Yeah, we have some of our guests come from all over the world, from England, Australia, Brooklyn, here in the United States, Canada, Mexico. So I wasn't sure where you were at in the world. So we're going to pick up a few more questions, because I'm just so fascinated with this topic of seance and the photography of the paranormal and the unseen world. And, you know, one of the quotes I was thinking about when I got into my own journey of mediumship is, you know, I now accept that there may be things far more magnificent, majestic, and mystifying than we can possibly perceive. And when we start talking about photography and capturing the spirit world, I think back to even when, you know, the Native American cultures were having their pictures taken, there was even some philosophy and belief that their souls would be stolen or captured within this photography. You know, mirrors come to mind when it's the reflection of oneself, you know, so photography, mirrors. I love that you shared that experience, one of those strange experiences of the mustache overshadowing. Can you tell us some of the stories behind some of those most haunting images that you've captured?
I've had a number of really profound experiences with my camera, but again, I always am leaving it up to the viewer to decide what exactly happened. I'm not trying to argue for the reality or try to convince anybody of anything. I'm just presenting them as in this artistic way. And I've talked about the synchronicity with the face, and then I've just had strange resonances. For example, I learned about ITC, which is instrumental transcommunication, which is when you use mediumship in combination with a camera or another electronic device. And so I was really inspired by these processes, and I went on my own and did some experimentation, and I did one experiment at Loch Ness. And I just was doing some long exposures, and I said, I just want to see what I get. And I did get a perfectly appropriate vision of a Loch Ness monster coming out of the water. And it's a very playful image, but it's also a strange image to me. Like, I went, and, you know, thinking about the mirror, like you were saying, or you know, like scrying, mirrors mm-hmm. and surfaces have been used, you know, for centuries as a way to see into other realms. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of thinking about the water and all the visions that people had seen of this monster. And I took some long exposures, and I did get an eerie synchronicity picture. But it's also a little bit playful as well, which mm-hmm. sometimes some of the best phenomena is playful.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that you just present that, you know, the book is for the reader to have prudence, to decide to be informed what, you know, what may look right, what may look haunting, what may look, you know, paranormal, what may, you know, appear to be fake. We have a lot of that in today's society. And I always tell people, use prudence to be informed in what feels right to you. And, you know, does that picture, you know, have a resemblance to maybe somebody you know, or can you have a shared experience? I find a lot of people, you know, we're all different people, but I always find that people usually have shared experiences that are very similar in nature. And, you know, this book, I think, would trigger some of the images that you're talking about, to even, maybe it's not within the book itself, but the book could be what I like to call a trigger object that could remind them of somebody that's in the spirit world. You know, the spirit world, for those that are no longer here, that once lived and now reside what I call the etheric world, the spirit world. Some may call it heaven, some may call it the afterlife. Everybody has a different, you know, label or connotation for it. But the book can also, and I'm sharing this because that's what happened to me when I was looking through some of the pictures, all of a sudden in my mindset, I started thinking about somebody I hadn't thought about in many, many years. And for our listeners out there, that's how the spirit world, when you don't have a voice, they find other ways to connect with us. So this book, you know, there is a reason they say pictures say 1,000 words, because that is really the truth. Looking into water can create that image of what you were just talking about, Shannon, about the Loch Ness monster coming out. But it was playful. It wasn't anything, you know, from a Hollywood movie, right? It wasn't there to try to eat you and scare you. It was more like, you know, almost it feels like a rendition of Puff the Magic Dragon cartoon kind of, coming out. But, that's the power of books. And, there's a reason that mirrors were outlawed for many years during the medieval times, because there was, if you've never done scrying or you've never done mirror gazing, give it a go. Do it in low light. Don't do it in the darkness. Because I just find you have better results with low light. We've done it in red light. I know when you were there at the college, everything was done in red light, not in just pure blackness. Just for the scientific and the skeptics out there, so you can actually see it with your own eyes. And it's just amazing when you see the paranormal world come alive in front of your own eyes. You kind of even blink your eyes at times. You're like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? But then everybody in the group is going, yes, he looks like a man with a mustache, and or yes, he looks like a skinny Chinese man, or he looks like a woman from the Roaring Twenties. It's amazing. And the Joseph Campbell quote comes to my mind about follow your bliss and the universe will open doors for you where there were only walls. And that's so true when you start to look at things differently. Dr. Wayne Dyer talked about this. When you change the way that you look at things, the things that you look at start to change. And I feel like this book will be great for people to peruse and also have some maybe connections with their own spiritual paranormal phenomenon, if you will. So get Shannon's book, check it out. You can always come to my studio here in Seattle and have a reading with me, and then look through the book, because it'll be sitting here on my coffee table, because it's just one of those books that is really just a conversation starter, and I think a lot of people would get a lot out of just by having it on the bookshelf. So let's talk about, how did you connect with Dan Aykroyd? Not everybody gets Dan Aykroyd to forward in their book.
I know. It was like a dream come true, really. And kind of wonderful, because as I moved forward with the work and I was ready to put it out into the world, I started to have some lucky experiences. And one of them was, I was in Lilydale, New York, which is the world's largest spiritualist community. And I've been spending time there since 2001. It's where I began my project. And every year I host, coordinate a symposium of lectures about spiritualism. And I was there that summer, and it just so happened that someone who had come for my lecture series was friends with the Aykroyds, and they were going to happen to be in Lilydale that weekend. And so we were put in touch.
Dun, dun, dun.
Just randomly. And I was able to show Dan my work, and I wasn't really expecting anything, but he really responded to it and said he wanted to write the foreword. And so that's how it happened, and it was just lucky circumstances, really.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe in luck anymore. Sorry. I hear people say that, but I'm with everything that I do, from, what I've seen in the work of how the spirit world works, the intelligence, the love, the synchronicities, the coincidences, the signs, symbols, synergy, the timing of you being at Lilydale. Because he's a fourth generation spiritualist, right? So his, is it his father, Dr. Samuel Augustus Aykroyd, his great grandfather?
That was his great grandfather. So his, Dan's from Canada, and his great grandfather was, a Canadian dentist and also spiritualist who would host people like Arthur Conan Doyle and famous mediums of the day. And it's actually Samuel's diaries that the family found that ended up inspiring Ghostbusters. And Dan's father actually wrote a wonderful book about spiritualism called The History of Ghosts, which I had been a fan of and read in 2009. Mm-hmm. And so I actually got to meet Peter Aykroyd as well, Dan's father, because he was there in Lilydale. He had wanted to do a visit. The Aykroyd family has been involved in spiritualism for quite some time.
That is so cool. And they're in the pictures are very laid out, where he talked about Lilydale. I know you were just mentioning Lilydale. That's one place I have yet to visit, to be honest with you. It's on my places to visit. Dan Aykroyd talked about it as a vibrant existing community that keeps alive the hugely positive fundamental values of spiritualism. And it can be visited by one and all who seek answers to some of our planet's most compelling mysteries. Right. And a lot of what we do, there is a lot of mystery and intrigue around this. I always, remind people, nothing to be scared of, not what you see in the Hollywood movies. I can't tell you how many times I have to say, it's what we don't understand leads us to a place of fear. So try to have some understanding of spiritualism. Try to have some understanding of the paranormal and things that are unseen. You know, I always describe it almost like the spiritual wind. We would all agree that if we look out and saw a tree moving back and forth, we would acknowledge that the wind is moving the tree. But the one thing we don't mention is we don't see the wind with our actually physical eye. We see the effects of the wind on an object, and very much the spiritual world is very much that same way if we're open to it. So let's talk about – I just think it's so cool that Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters, it's just that – it's almost that 2 degrees of separation, if you will, that you'd be talking – you'd be doing a radio show in your future when you saw it back in 1984, and you'd be talking about ectoplasm and some of the concepts that were actually brought into Ghostbusters in 1984, which I saw many, many times in the movie theater. But let's talk about what is spirit photography like. Are you capturing the ghost? What, you know, there's so many different ways people talk about ghosts and what's the difference between a ghost and somebody that's actually connecting to a medium. What is spirit photography actually? How would you define spirit photography?
Well, spirit photography in the spiritualism and photography actually came about around the same time in the 19th century. And so almost immediately they were brought together. People were trying to photograph seances and prove that spirits existed using cameras. And these experiments were scientifically unsuccessful because we realized that photography is a much more complicated medium, and it has a different relationship to representation than was first envisioned. And I think spiritualism is that way too. It's complicated. It has a truth of its own. It's hard to pin down and prove scientifically. So spirit photographs were, there was a wide range of experimentation done using cameras or just using plates without cameras, just using the photographic substance. And a lot of this experimentation and early photographs were written out of the history because people years later looked back at them and said, oh, those are embarrassing. Oh, gosh, we should just forget this. But I became fascinated by the relationship between spiritualism and photography. And that's part of one of the themes of the book is this relationship between the two. And as far as taking photographs of actual spirits, usually the folklore goes, and I've heard this story millions of times, although this has never happened to me, is people, if they see an apparition or they actually see a spirit and they have a camera available, something happens where they're not allowed or they're not able to photograph it, whether the camera freezes up or they don't get there fast enough, or it's just some circumstance happens that they're not allowed to capture it. I'm not saying I'm proving or photographing spirits. I consider what I would do to resonate with the spiritual experience in its own way. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely an artistic practice of mine. So I'm not trying to say that it's scientific proof, but photographs, they're hard to use as scientific proof in basically almost everything. I mean, you could do evidential pictures, but there's always some mystery to photographs and how exactly they were created.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in this day and age too, with Photoshop, and is it real? Like I said, I already had a few comments on the picture, like, oh, what exposure was used? How did you get that light streaming out of your head going up to, you know, the heavens or the divine? And yeah, I think it's, you know, and I tell, you know, I remind our listeners, people that follow my work, people that know the show or have seen me do this work, I always talk about having that. I think it's healthy to have that skeptical mindset. A lot of what we do with the spirit world is an impression of a feeling. That pseudoscience is, you can't prove it, but you can't disprove it either, because it's a feeling sometimes based on when you connect to that spirit world. But I always remind people, use prudence, feel it for yourself. If it feels right, or if there's a feeling about it, that's usually, you know, the first impressions. Because I come from a background of very analytical, critical thinking, logic, left brain type of work in my past careers. And, you know, when I, you know, started getting into spiritualism, when I started thinking about life after death, just with all the traumas and tragedies and my own near-death experience I went through, I really remind people that, you know, that awakening is a process towards self-discovery, that we are so much more than we perceive to be. And it's so much in line with the spirit world that they'll find a way to connect with you. you know, just ask, believe, and receive, and see what different ways they can connect with you. And pictures are a big one for the listeners out there. So check this book out. It's called Seance. It's by Shannon Taggart. We're going to be going to our second break here. And when we come back, the show goes so quick, doesn't it? There you go. We're going to be back here in 2 minutes, continuing to talk about this wonderful book, Seance by Shannon Taggart. Be inspired, inspire others, inspire before we expire. We'll be back in 2.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Our special guest today, Shannon Taggart, talking about her wonderful book, Seance, with amazing pictures, featured as one of Time's 2019 best photo books out there. It's a fascinating look at the spirit world, the unseen world, paranormal. Some may be a little haunting, some may be a little intriguing, but you decide, and that's what we were talking about before the break, and it kind of reminds me of a quote from Harry Houdini that talked about, my brain is a key that sets me free. So get the book, look through it, see what you think about it, see if it connects with you in some way. I have a feeling it probably would connect with you through one of those pictures, because there's a whole bunch of pictures in the book. And if you want to connect with Shannon, Shannon, the best way to connect with you? Just your website?
Yeah, my website, shannontaggart.com. I am on Twitter and Instagram as Seance Book, so Seance _ book. And yes, I have a website which has my email, and so I'm definitely online. And if you awesome. Just, my name is spelled Taggart, Shannon.
And we have that, your bio, and the link at the Facebook page of Inspired Living Radio if you want to get on our page, and you can click right through there. So before we get into ectoplasm, because I know some people want to hear about ectoplasm. Is it real? Is it, what is it? Let's just talk about that real quick, just because for the sake of time. What is ectoplasm, and what does ectoplasm symbolize?
Okay, so ectoplasm is a spiritualist term. It was actually coined by a Nobel laureate in medicine in the 1800s, Charles Roche. And he coined this term after table tipping with the famous medium Eusebia Palladino. And he would perceive these extra limbs that she had that seemed to be able to do these supernatural things. So he used this term ectoplasm. And ectoplasm is like a force, it symbolizes that life and death remain connected and that you can actually bring the spiritual into the material realm. In spirit photos, it looks like this gauzy, cheesecloth-y, oozing white substance. And I had first heard the term ectoplasm in Ghostbusters, and I think that's the main reason many people are familiar with the term is because mm-hmm. of that film.
But
it's removed from its historical significance. And so the narrative of my book kind of is driven by a search for ectoplasm to see, you know, when I was going to spiritualist churches, I wasn't seeing people producing ectoplasm, but yet the mediums I spoke with believed in the reality of it and that it was possible and that maybe some of the pictures from the past were actually true pictures. And so I became really interested in this idea of what ectoplasm meant and where it was in the world and was it still happening. And so I do eventually find all different find that ectoplasm is defined in different ways, and there's a lot of different beliefs around it. I go into the history of it in the book. I go into my search of it. I have images that are different variations of ectoplasm, and I kind of talk about how spiritualists now feel about it and how mm-hmm. there's a lot of controversy surrounding it and different opinions about ectoplasm. It's a complicated topic.
Yeah, that's what I love about controversy, though. It makes you think, right? It brings something into awareness, mm-hmm. and you have debates about it, and it can create controversy based on perception, and that's where prudence comes in to be informed and feels, you know, does it feel right to you? In any of the stories or any of the pictures you've seen, have you ever seen it to be green in a gooey type of portrayal in Ghostbusters? As far as I just think of the getting slimed kind of format, yes, with the little ghost kind of thing.
Yes. No, I've never seen green ectoplasm, but I have seen mediums who under red light produce what looks like ectoplasm, and they claim that it's literally real. And mm-hmm. so what I try to do in the book is I give the voice to everybody, the critics of this, the people who are skeptical of ectoplasm, the people who completely believe in ectoplasm, the people who are actually going out there and doing the seances. There's an entire chapter on the most famous ectoplasmic medium working today, and I use his words. And so I think even if you are completely skeptical about ectoplasm, I give a lot of conversation about why, even if you don't take it literally, you should take it seriously when you mm-hmm. consider what it is and what it means and what it symbolizes. And so I tried, I really wrote the book with every audience in mind, at least tried to make it interesting for everybody. And so mm-hmm. I kind of feel like when I was compiling it, it was almost like walking a tightrope, you know, and there are, you know, some people are critical that I even included ectoplasm in the book, but I think that shows just how controversial it is within spiritualism.
Yeah, this is 18 years. This book didn't write itself overnight, right? I believe you said 18 years in the making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time to process it all. You know, when I first started, I had never even met a medium or had a reading. I couldn't understand how you could be a sane person and talk with dead people. Mm-hmm. Like, it was so new to me. And I actually, in the middle of the project, I took a 3-year break because I just didn't know really how to finish it or how to work. And it was a lot of research and a lot of reading and a lot of talking with different people and different mediums and different scholars and parapsychologists. And so it really, the research was almost became as important as the picture making, which I never thought would be the case, but that's where this project took me.
I'd also say probably a little bit of spiritual inspiration or some divine urge got you to that
absolutely.
Point to assist you in writing it from the other side. Now
yes,
you said that
absolutely.
I've personally seen just a very brief glimpse of ectoplasm. I've seen some of the pictures and some of the blocks at the museum at the Arthur Findlay College, which was great. Their museum is wonderful. And I saw it briefly with sitting in a local circle. It was very fast, so I almost, you know, for the skeptics in us, It's like, did I really see that? Did that happen? Because it pulled back in, because the medium actually will let the ectoplasm kind of come out based on, you know, the ectoplasm of the fluids, if you will, from the medium, but then it pulled right back in. So it was kind of, I've seen it briefly, but it happened so quick. I was like, did I see it or did I not see it? But I find that with the spirit world too. I never see the spirit world head on. I always catch everything out of my peripheral vision. So, you know, the peripheral vision is important when it comes to seeing what is unseen, the impression of feeling, you know, what feels right. But you, in your experience, you're showing that mediums today, modern mediums, because even those questions you asked about mediumship, I still have some of those questions, like, why do I do what I do? But you're finding that mediums are still have the ability to bring ectoplasm in modern mediumship, from what you've seen or researched?
Well, yeah, some people describe ectoplasm as an energy or a force. You know, so some people say that that's why you see transfiguration. And for me, the experience of seeing transfiguration is similar to seeing a rainbow, where it's there but it's not. You know,
good point.
Like it's more like a hologram or something. Other people, you know, they define it differently. It depends on the medium, as with everything in spiritualism. And you know, mediums have different ways of working and describing and explaining. And so kind of trying to wrap my brain around all that was really, and keep everybody happy. You know, I joke that I'm the diplomat of spiritualism, because I really tried to go for every aspect and really learn as much as I could from as many people as possible. And a lot of these people were not in agreement with one another. And so that was the big challenge. And to even be able to speak about it in a way that made sense and was honoring everybody, but still being truthful. You know, I mean, it took me a long time to figure it all out, and I haven't figured everything out. Don't get me wrong, but it did take me a long time to get where I'm at with it, which is where I leave with the book.
Well, the final product has turned out well. I don't think you're gonna please everybody. There's that old saying, try to please the world, satisfy nobody, and you just gotta move best with the, you know, what feels right to you, and just tell the story and let people, you know, debate and have, you know, their own perceptions and controversies. And that's spiritualism, because it's a pseudoscience. Can't prove it, can't disprove it. It's like a feeling of love, right? It's how do you prove stuff? And I think the book tackles really great photography, visual imagery that helps stimulate the connection to the spirit world, whether you're a believer, if you're not a believer, whether you're agnostic, whether you're an atheist, or whether you're a medium like myself. I think it would definitely be a book to have on the coffee table as a conversational piece as well. And real quick, I just want to talk about just one last question for you, and then we'll start to wrap up here. Where do you find the history of photography when it comes to spiritualism? How does the history of photography, because, you know, talking about controversy, photography within itself has had great controversy. The telephone, which was first created to connect with the dead, actually not the living, has great controversy, something Nikola Tesla talked about in 1865, this little black box that would connect people. And, you know, he was considered a witch and a warlock of his generation, of his time. Where do you see the history connecting to spiritualism when it comes to this photography, and as we move forward with more digital aspects of connecting cloud, certain applications, stuff like that?
Well, actually, I say in my introduction that spiritualism and photography really used each other as tools to see where the limitations were. Meaning, like, the first time people questioned photographic reality as being different than actual reality was when they tried to, when the first spirit photographer, William Mumler, was presenting images where he said he had photographed spirits. So this made people consider, wait a minute, maybe photography is presenting something different than actual reality. Meaning, like, it could be manipulated, it can show things you can't see with your eye, it can distort, its representation isn't as solidly truthful as you would perceive with your senses if you were in the room. So it gets very complicated when the two come together, you know. And as we know, spiritualism too, it's a subjective experience, mm-hmm. and a lot of people can be in the same seance room and see the same thing, but experience something completely different.
Yeah.
So rather than try to take apart these things, with my work, I try to put them together as much as possible, and see how many questions and how much strangeness would happen if I just forgot about the rules and just kind of went intuitively with my camera. So, I write extensively about the history of photography in the book, and there's a number of essays that help frame the history. And so there's a lot about art and photography and spiritualism and how they are meaningful to one another.
Well, I think people just have to get the book. I think you've done a good job of creating food for thought, things that make you go, I'm going to leave it with a quote from Uri Geller, who talked about whether you believe in the paranormal or don't. Shannon Taggart's book is fascinating, and the photos are haunting. If you want to learn more about Shannon's work, you can visit her at shannontaggart.com. You can also go to folger.press, which is your publication where the book can be purchased, or Amazon, or go to Inspired Living Radio Facebook page, get the link right there. Anything else that you want to share with us before we end?
I just want to say thank you, and if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take email. And I just want to thank you, Mark, for sharing your personal story, because it's one of my favorite texts in the book. And it was really meaningful for me to be able to include it. And I really mean that. So many people, even the editor of the book, she was like, this is my favorite. Oh, my gosh, the story just really is just so amazing. So I can't wait for your book to come out.
Well, thank you. And thank you for sending me such a beautiful book and our connection to be able to even share that story with you at the college. If you want to come back to Inspired Living Radio, please do so. Share more with us. Keep doing the amazing, beautiful work that you're doing. And thank you for coming back on for a second show in 2020. I greatly appreciate it. And again, if you want to get Shannon's book, it's Seance, shannontaggart.com. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to today's live show. I'll be back here in 2 weeks with another episode of Inspired Living Radio. As I like to say, until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate, and most importantly, dare to dream, dare to explore, dare to live. Namaste.